Members, I guess we should make a start. Chairman's notices, those are listed over leaf. Apologies for absence.
I don't have any chairman.
Okay, that's good. Minutes of the last meeting. To confirm the minutes of the meeting of the Finance and Corporate Services Committee held on the 31st of July 2018. Agreed. Excellent. Disclosure of interests. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests, or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda, having regard to paragraph 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for Members. Councillor Fluker.
I will declare, Chairman, but I'll declare when you take the committee into Local Government Act 1972, paragraph A, brackets 4, closed brackets. Thank you.
Okay. Members?
Anything else?
No. Excellent. Public participation? There is none. So we move on to superfast broadband in the Maldon district. Thank you. Mr. Burrows. Pages 11 to 22 for those of you on the electronic devices.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The purpose of the report today is to update the committee on the current delivery of Superfast Essex in Maldon District and to specifically refer attention to the Council's commitment to funding phase 2A of the implementation of this programme. A little bit of background to start. Superfast Essex Phase 1 completed in June 2016 and brought Maldon District from a total of 38% of premises covered to 77% of premises covered, essentially doubling the number of premises that were covered by Superfast Broadband. Phase 2A, launched in 2016, intends to increase that number to 92%. A further 15% increase and covering 28,432 premises across the district. Back in 2014, Council proposed a funding of £90,994 towards the delivery of Phase 2A of Superfast Essex. This was later renegotiated with Essex County Council, who are the delivery partner responsible for delivery of this program. And it was renegotiated that a value of £45,000 would be paid towards the as Maldon District Council's contribution towards the implementation of Phase 2A over a three-year period starting in June of 2016. This funding was later discussed and agreed both at the Planning and Licensing Committee and Finance and Corporate Services Committee, this committee, in April 2016, and was confirmed by Statutory Annual Council in May of 2016. Up until this point, no funding has been transferred from Maldon District Council towards the support of this program. The program does run until December 2019, so it still has some period to run. Currently, according to the figures provided by Superfast Broadband, it should be in Annex Number 2, we are currently at 81.5% coverage of Maldon District by Superfast Broadband, and what we would like to do is negotiate an agreement with Essex County Council towards the gradual payment of the fees that had already been agreed, but where we put in objectives and targets for trigger points for this payment to take place. At the time of submitting the report to this committee, we had not received any further detail on this from Essex County Council. However, in the days since then, we have received a draft proposal from Essex County Council that does put forward a legal agreement in which we will be able to make this payment over three payments at trigger points that are yet to be negotiated. It appears that the trigger points that we will negotiate will be based on the number of premises that are covered in terms of the original agreement back in 2016. So my objective was to give you an update of where we are currently. So from 77% coverage, we are now at 81.5% coverage, and to update you on the negotiations with Essex County Council on behalf of Superfast Essex towards the payment of the contribution that had been agreed by Maldon District Council. And once that is complete, we will be able to provide further details on the exact agreement reached with the council. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I mean, members, I know we spent some time on this last time, and we ping-ponged between partnering with the county council on this and not. And I have to say, I continue to wonder whether this is really worth investing in for a couple of reasons. One is that we are increasingly seeing the county council play hardball with us on things that they're supposed to be providing, such as highways, where they apparently want us to match fund what they should be providing in the district, and saying that they won't actually be repairing the roads properly if we don't do that. And also, I think since this was agreed previously, there have been increased obligations put on BT Openreach to actually roll this out anyway. And so I think, you know, most of this provision will ultimately happen at a similar pace, regardless of whether we end up putting our hands in our pockets. So I mean, just some perspectives from me, but I'm in the hands of members on this one. Councillor Dobson.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I agree with what you say. I think the telling point for me is in page 1476, 4.1, where it says, while coverage in Maldon District County 81.5%, which has been said, it says that it's not, the business indicate that it's not expected speeds were not experienced. We are more likely to hear from dissatisfied businesses, so the views may but not be representative. We are aware for potential reasons the perception that delivered broadband in rural areas is not meeting expectations. So why would we invest in something that, that's a great bit of spin, I'll be honest, it says great, but it seems like it's not actually delivering if I read 4.1. So why would we throw more money at something that I don't think the businesses are happy with, would be my observation.
Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. I mean, this all revolves around the starting figure. So just to draw members' attention to 3.3.2, where we talk about 28,432 premises, i.e. homes and business in the district, I think some members will remember where I actually asked Mr. Butt to confirm how many actual dwellings were in the district. Mr. Butt came out with a figure of, I think, just under or just over 29,000. That's from the census. That's not his figures. That's not mine. That's from the government, and we know how accurate they are. But obviously, on top of that, there's a huge amount of businesses in the district. Chairman, I live in a pretty remote location myself, and I've been told that probably unless I go microwave, I'm never going to have high speed. So one presumes I'm in that group of people that aren't going to get this. But, Chairman, if you just indulge me for a moment and go to page 18, and we come back to Southminster. Now, these were the addresses which they... are you with me? Appendix 1, yeah. Page 18, yeah? Now, these were the roads that Essex highlighted before. Now, rather spookily, in Lavender Drive, the IT director for FDR lives, and he's been told that he will never, ever get high-speed broadband, and Southminster won't in that location. It's impossible to deliver it. There's green cabinets everywhere with stickers on that says, hoorah, high-speed broadband's arrived, but it's not available. I just think this is an absolute farce. This is Essex County Council doing that little thing that they did on highways, which I refer to as double taxation. BT will roll this out whether they have our money or not. I would propose, Chairman, that under the six-month rule, that we unravel this decision, and we propose to Council that this offer should be withdrawn.
Okay, that seems like there's fairly unanimity around the Council. Councillor Harker.
I think if you live out in the sticks, that's a lifestyle choice. and taxpayers' money should not be spent on supporting that lifestyle choice. Secondly, if we are going to pay any money, the trigger point should not only be the number of houses, but also the speed of the connection. Any fool can put a green box at the end of the road and say there's 50 houses installed, but in Heybridge, it says in here about 24 meg. In your dreams, it's only 15 where I am. It's smoke and mirrors. It really is. It's smoke and mirrors. And BT will do if there's money in it, BT will do it anyway. So I would support that we tell them that we're not paying any more money.
Well, there's a proposal on the table, Councillor Hurd.
Well, I'm just ready to ask if we didn't pay, are there any consequences, Jem?
Burrows?
Yes. I believe that there would be, in that the council's reputation would be at stake, since we have made a commitment to Essex County Council, minuted in our council decisions, that we would transfer this funding as part of the programme. So, in my humble opinion, we risk damaging our reputation as a council that does commit to. To honour its commitments, financial commitments.
Okay. I mean, we did always say, I think we were always very clear, and I mean, first of all, they saw that we made two different decisions over a very brief period of time in the first instance, and then we were very clear that this money would only ever be committed if we were very confident that there was going to be incremental delivery. And I think what members are saying is we're not confident of that incremental delivery. And so, reputationally, I think we can cover it in that respect. We have a proposal on the table, which is seconded. Can I put that proposal to the committee, please? All those in favour? Good, that's unanimous. Very good. Well, on that basis, we can move on rapidly.
Councillor.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Councillor Beale.
Anyway, I'll ask some questions. Southminster, you've got some missing there. There's Devonshire Road, Crown Way. It's on bottom of page 18, top of page 19. Devonshire Road and Crown Way.
They're missing. Were supposed to be connected originally?
Yes, supposed to, but they're not yet.
Okay, very helpful, thank you.
And if I remember rightly, when we first spoke about this payment being made, there only seemed to be a couple of suckers, as you might say, when Maldon District Council was one of them that was actually going to pay money. If I remember rightly, there was Epping Forest and many others that weren't going to pay a penny. So I would like to know whether that's been rectified before we start paying any money at all.
Well, I think on the basis of the decision that we've just taken, Councillor Beale, we're not going to hand over any money. So we're going to be part of that group.
But I wonder whether or not the information I've given or pointed out can still be used as a reasoning behind it once we know that there's equity and other people are paying.
Understood. Well, we'll certainly pass it on. Very good. So we can move on to the next item, item 7, supplementary estimates, requirements and use of reserves.
Ms Cox.
Ms Cox.
Thank you, Chairman. This report details the requirements, supplementary estimates and procurement exemptions that have been approved or are being requested for approval since the last report to members. For the period the 28th of June to the 31st of August, there has been one approved procurement exemption for the upgrade to the land charges software. And this is approved as it's a uniform system which is used widely across the authority, and therefore the upgrade had to be with the existing supplier. That's the only one item to report.
Agreed. Excellent. Item 8, the medium-term financial strategy update.
Thank you. So this is our September update on the medium-term financial strategy. The reason why we give this update at this time is during August we get an update from central government as part of their consultation of what they are considering in changing in their settlement, which is announced in December. What we've done with that information is we've mapped it into the medium-term financial strategy in 3.4 on page 28. This has shown a worsening from the previous figures reported. However, over the next 6 weeks, we will get further confirmation as to whether this additional £519,000 £1,000 saving in 2021 will be required or not. So the budget is balanced for 1920, £519,000 for 2021. That arises from a couple of key reasons, one of which is a reduction from county in their contribution to our funds each year by £86,000 as they are withdrawing the full 16% share back on the localisation of council tax. So what happened when we brought council tax localisation in, it became very important at that time, now the DWP were not funding the discounts as they used to, that county really focused on the districts obtaining maximum collection rate, because that's who it affects the most, with the biggest element of the council tax. So what happened was that county funded some additional posts in each district to maximise collection, and then any additional collection was split 84% to county and 16% to the district on a share back percentage. In the end of July, the councillor or portfolio holder for finance met with the districts and stated that they had decided that they would be phasing this percentage share back percentage down, and that's now been reflected in the medium term financial strategy. Our understanding of this is that there is no way of increasing this back again. It is a reduction, and that is what will happen, so we've built that in. The other elements that we've built in is we've updated our inflationary estimates. We've also built in some of the additional revenue costs for the future model. There's £170,000 extra revenue cost for the future model. We have actually already accounted for that transformation reserve until 21-22, but we're going to try and build those into the revenue budget from 2021 in order that we are delivering those costs within budget and within base earlier than we need to. Then, in addition, we've got the movement on the negative revenue support grant. So where we used to receive income on revenue support grant, we're one of the unfortunate districts that as from 2021 will be required to make a negative RSG payment back to central government. That's been factored in. However, there is a view that this will be eliminated under the fairer funding regime that's been proposed. But the overall concern, and the reason for leaving it in at the moment, is that there's no more money going into fairer funding regime than there is at the moment. Fairer funding regime has to take account of the difficulties in adult social care funding and children's social care funding. So at the moment, we've put that revenue negative revenue support grant number into the MTFS. So 1920 balanced. Overall, without those adjustments I've just mentioned, the recent adjustments, balanced across to 22-23 or thereabouts, but we do need to just get some further confirmation on those movements which potentially go the wrong way for us and then adjust those back. But I think at this point it's important to include them in the latest version of the medium-term financial strategy.
Members, look, I think the information on the council tax sharing agreement reduction just endorses the decision we took in the previous item. Councillor Elliott.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll stay. Can the Director of Resources enlighten us on the impact of forwards pension deficit funding?
Absolutely. Please. So what happens is that every 3 years we have a triannual revaluation of the pension liability, and a significant contribution must be made. So what you can see is that we've been building up last year, this year, into next year, a reserve to fund most of that. So if you look from the fourth line from the bottom, you'll see in 2021, you'll see where that comes, and you'll see a line in red, 1119, and that's the amount that we've built up in the reserve. We will have built up in the reserve towards this. So there's two things that happen on pension deficit funding. The first thing is that there is a lump sum that needs to be paid. We don't know exactly the number at the moment. We're basing that on the number that we had to pay last year or the year before, which was fully funded by reserves then. A decision was made to fund that pension deficit funding from the general fund, but in accordance with the policy of the council, we are no longer funding ongoing revenue items from the general fund. So therefore, we've built up out of our revenue budget over last year, this year and next year, a special reserve to be able to fund it. So we have two impacts. One is the 1.1 million lump sum we've got to pay, and then also they increase our contributions going forwards. Last time that was by about £600,000.
People are living too long.
Well, although the news today is that longevity growth has stopped, so sadly so. Any other questions, members, or are those principles in the recommendations agreed? Councillor Fluker.
Chairman, just a very brief one, actually. Will this apply retrospectively? Because we have had an incident where a request has been made for additional funding for something for next year, which was rather surprisingly approved and left the Section 151 officer and myself in a slightly difficult position. But I fear that you're going to relieve me of the difficulty in it.
So I have actually clarified that, and we are not allowing retrospective funding in that way, and it will be confirmed in the final growth items, which are put forward in February to full council to approve.
If you'd allow me to come back, maybe if an update could go to the members concerned and myself. Thank you. I did try to help you.
It was a bit of a shock.
Any other questions? Are those principles agreed, members? Excellent. Okay, on to human resources statistics, item 9, quarter 1, 2018-19.
Thank you. So this is our first quarter of HR stats. Overall, we've got a recruitment freeze in place. There has been less leaving than I think we had anticipated that there would be in this time of change. So we've had 10 leavers and 10 starters. With an average of 236 in post. The recruitment freeze is in place. The only roles that have been recruited to are on fixed-term contracts, as from the recruitment freeze being implemented. And we're managing that in terms of backfilling within budgets and managing those vacancies as they are. I think at the moment we're holding just in excess of 25 vacancies against the total establishment. In terms of sickness, we are down to 2.13 days for quarter one. That's the lowest it's been for a very long time, but members should bear in mind that we're about to go through a period of change, and during periods of change, often sickness levels will increase. There's also been an improvement in compliance with the sickness procedure, and the gender and headcount data is provided in the appendix on page 41.
Members, any questions on the human resources statistics? Councillor Fluker.
It's the one I always bring up, and that is we were always promised that we would have a précis of the staff exit interviews and the reasons for why people are leaving. I think that's useful. I just wonder why it wasn't in this report, because I keep bringing it up.
So they're doing that every 6 months. They're providing that information, so that will come with the next one. Yeah, it came to the last one. We put the report in green and then it comes.
I know, that's a great answer. Councillor Beale.
Thank you. It's indicated that you've got 25 personnel that are interested in leaving at the moment. Is that anywhere near the target that we need for, say, next year?
Sorry, 25 personnel interested in leaving?
Yes.
No, I said we're holding 25 vacant posts, where we've got 25 posts where we haven't currently filled them at the moment. They're empty. Not 25 people interested in leaving.
If you've got 25 vacant posts, etc., has it been reviewed, and so we won't necessarily have to get rid of as many staff as we thought we had?
We still have a net movement, as reported on our HR1 as part of the Ignite Future model, of 32.5 FTE staff reduction. So there's still that's still the reduction. And in terms of voluntary redundancies, whilst we have had a large number ask for their numbers in terms of the stage two requests. They're still pretty low.
That's that noted. The human resource statistics. Good. Okay, moving on to item 10. Any other items of urgent business that aren't? Item 11, the exclusion of the public and the press. To resolve that under section 100A, subsection 4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following items of business on the grounds that they involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of schedule 12A to the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest test. Okay, seconded. Thank you.